Hey, contractors, on September 16th, you're invited to a web class that will take the unpredictability out of your business growth. You see, since 2015, we've tracked the growth of over 1,500 businesses just like yours in one of the longest running analysis of successful contractors in North America. We had unrestricted access to their financials, their operations, their management decisions, their personal habits, and all their biases. And we did this for about 30 months per member that we worked with. And we uncovered six, I would say, pretty unexpected patterns shared by the most profitable 7-, 8-, and 9-figure contractors. Tune in on September 16th to discover our findings and learn how to scale up your business without working more. Click the link in the description, and I'll see you there. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Contractor Evolution, the podcast by Breakthrough Academy. There are 168 hours in every single week, and that's true for all of us. So why do some people stall out while others build empires? How do the world's most successful contractors stay focused on what's truly important while Chuck in the truck can barely follow through on a smoke break? A few weeks ago, I teamed up once again with Matt Reisinger, founder of Reisinger Builds and host of The Build Show, to answer that very question. In this web class, we cover how to set annual, quarterly, and weekly priorities based on what's actually important in your business, how to block distractions and stay laser focused on your goals, and how choosing the wrong priorities has even screwed us up in the past, and how you can avoid making the exact same mistakes. We also give away a ton of pre-made productivity tools and resources that you can get in the description below. So make sure you download those. But without further ado, let's dive in with Matt. You're listening to Contractor Evolution, the podcast by Breakthrough Academy, where we systemize contracting businesses for growth. Keep listening to learn how the world's top contractors scale their companies, build killer teams, and make more while working less.
Boom, we're live.
Here we go.
How's it going, everybody? Mr. Matt.
Welcome.
We've got a jam-packed hour, lots to go over today. We're going to be talking in this web class about how to block interruptions, how to hit your goals, and I think arguably one of the more important things for a lot of us is just how to work a little less. You guys are all, for those who have been here before, might recognize this thing on something called LiveStorm. It's similar to Zoom, but it's a little different. I see some of you already found the chat. Perfect. I would love to start with a question in the chat. Just make sure everybody's found it. Give me a kind of like a hey, hello. But I have a specific question for you guys, and we'll break this down as we get into the day. How many hours are you working right now in your business? And be honest with me. And don't pad this or, yeah, exactly. There you go. Thanks, Jared, for being honest. 70 to 80. How many hours are you guys working in your business right now? Because I feel like a lot of us probably are doing more than we'd like. So today's topic is all about trying to bring balance to that chaos, which I think I've been an entrepreneur for 20 years. Matt, how long have you been an entrepreneur for? How long have you been running your own thing?
Really just 20 years, because I've been in the construction 30, but I worked for other people for 10 years. Carl in the chat.
Busy. Yeah. How many resonate with just a very busy human being jamming away at the computer? That is very true. So yeah, I found, man, that, and I'm sure you found this too, like there are years that are good and we get a handle of this stuff. And there are years where we just let it go awry and it's like a mental reset to get back on track. Otherwise it just goes on for too long. So yeah. So here's the plan. We're going to go through some concepts for you. We're also going to be giving you guys some templates and resources. We always do this. It helps make sure what we're teaching has some actionable insights and you can take this and run with it. So we're going to be talking a bit about strategic planning and why that's important, obviously, to line up your priorities in your business and your life. We're going to give you a template on that. We're going to talk a bit about saving 5 hours a week and how to do that. There's a whole exercise to give you guys a takeaway to actually go through and do that. And I hope, if nothing else, that should be a quick win for everyone listening today. We're going to talk about how to prioritize your weeks properly and a coaching tool that all of our coaches use with our members that really helps just line up what's truly a priority and how much time do I actually have in my week. And we'll give you some stuff on block scheduling as well that should help you get it all in there properly. So there'll be a link at the very end. We'll put it in the chat window. We'll also have a little blue bubble pop up for those who are watching on social media. I think it'll probably be pinned to the top of the chat thread. So look out for that. But we'll give you some stuff to work on at the end of today as well. So cool. Well, as you noticed, I'm not alone. I'm with Mr. Matt Reisinger, founder of The Build Show and Reisinger Builds. Matt, you're taking your time to do this. I know you're busy. We've had a lot of chats just before we started here. You've got a lot going on, but why are you here?
We've got a lot going on.
It's so important.
Danny, this is a big topic for me, and I'll be honest, this is one that I feel a little shy presenting on because this area of my life is something I've been working on for a long, long time. When I was a 22-year-old assistant superintendent out on the job site, the company that I worked for gave us this skills assessment test that was a way for the company to figure out, like, hey, how do we figure out how to help our people get better at their jobs? And it was like a bunch of different kind of work behaviors, like how are you at communication? How are you at human relations? How are you at what's the word for encouraging people to do things they don't want to do it? Persuasion, motivation, right? So I scored extremely high on lots of different factors. So my boss tells me basically, Reisinger, you know, you're great. We like lots of things about you, but you have a hard time organizing or planning your way out of a box. And so they put me through at the time a series year after year of skill training in this kind of planning organizational topic. And at first, the planning organization skill training was like day timer related. This is paper timing days. Like, we didn't even have a computer out in the field in 1995. I barely had internet at home. I think I didn't get internet in my house until 96 or something like that. And then I went through the Franklin Covey system. Long story short, my point here, Danny, is that, you know, I've been working on that a lot for a long period of time. And to this day, I still feel like this is a skill that I need to continue to work on. And so I'm not here as a guru who's going to tell you how to make it. More like I'm going to tell you some war stories as a student in this topic, and really hopefully you guys can learn from my experience. And
you know what, man, it is an education at first, and then it is a habit. And I had somebody holding me, the same thing, actually, this was 15 years ago, someone holding me accountable to my calendar. Everything has to be written. I have to scan it and send it to them. And if anything's not aligned with where I'm supposed to go, they call me out. That was the best year I ever did with priority management to this day. And without it, there's busy years where I just let things go. And then there's other years where I'm like, I have to, I have too much on my calendar. I have to get more organized. And it becomes a conscious habit more than just a ability.
Agreed.
Cool. There's a lot of us on here right now. I would love to know from you guys, just give yourselves a grade out of 10. And again, be honest. Where do you sit with your own priority management and your own time management? Do you find you're always in urgent and important things? Do you find it varies maybe by season? Some seasons are crazy. Some seasons are a little more balanced. Mm-hmm. Or do you find you're pretty calm, cool, collected? You've got key priorities. You're working on them all the time. You're leading the organization, riding the horse versus, I would say, tailing it, we'll read the shit out of the back of it while it's running. Like, where are you at?
Actually,
I think lots of threes and fives, couple sevens. Sorry, Matt.
If I'm correct, Danny, a few people put negative numbers in there. They're like below one.
That's brutal. You know what? It's at the end of the day, I'm not surprised. I do find the entrepreneur brain in general, the person who starts the business, is naturally more creative, naturally more free flowing. It is hard for us to think in boxes and to be kind of super, you know, exactly. So just know that we're in this together a bit. There are tools, though, that are absolutely needed for, I think, for our type of brain, and we'll walk through them today. Well, yeah, welcome to the club, maybe more than anything. Matt, you're a seven? It's good. That's not bad.
I think I'm a seven, and I would say that I've worked really hard to get there, Danny. This is not, I'm not an expert here, and I'm not trying to blow smoke here either. I think that over the last even couple years, I've really gotten a lot better, and we're going to talk about this later, at delegation and not always wanting to be the person who does it because I feel like I can do it better, which I think a lot of people on the line that are business owners have felt that way. And that's something I've really worked hard on.
Yeah, that's not even a practical thing. That's like an emotional thing. It's just like the stubborn pride and ego of just like, no, I have to do this. No, I have to do this. It's like, mm-hmm. How did you grow though? Can cause issues. So yeah, we'll get into it in a bit.
Hey guys, quick question before we continue the episode. If you could get a custom roadmap for growing your business in 5 minutes, would it be worth your time? After tracking the growth of over 1,600 contracting businesses since 2015, we've put together a 5-minute quiz you can go take right now that draws on a massive pool of data. You'll get instant access to a personalized report that's going to tell you which one of the four phases of contractor growth you're actually in right now. How your company stacks up in the 6 core areas of business compared with industry benchmarks. And what to go do next, including customized resources, tools, and templates you'll have access to right away. No waiting around for an email or filling out a million separate forms. The link is in the description, so go check it out. Now, back to the episode.
So purpose, let's increase some productivity. Everybody in this room, let's save some hours. If we can get everybody to save two days a week of productivity, that would be unbelievable. I do not expect that to actually happen, but I would love to have some elements of how you organize your week that will help get you towards that. So that's the idea. There's this concept of like signal versus noise. And if nothing else, bringing all of us to this point where we understand this is the signal of where we need to go. And this is all just noise. Because I bet most of us are spending 80% of our time in noise and maybe 20% of our time on things that actually matter.
Yeah. So, good point.
There's a study my team drew up that kind of references all this, but even I was like, yeah, that makes about sense. Like founders are losing probably 2 days a week to just busy work. And I find that a lot of us are working these 70, 80 hour work weeks, it's because we're doing our 40 hour a week kind of like job in the organization. And then there's all these fires and things that we're running around to that just butt into the day to day that ends up making us work Saturdays and Sundays sometimes. There's no end. So cool. So here's another question for the audience. Why is prioritization so hard for you? When you think about it, what's getting in the way? Is it just like your own conscious effort to it? It's like kind of don't know how. Is it like just feels impossible? As soon as you get one thing off your plate, another thing comes.
Hold on.
Dumpster fires is the first. Fair enough. Yeah, there's a lot of fires. And here's what I found doing this year after year. Learning priority management is sometimes the hardest time because you still have all those fires while trying to be disciplined with your time. And it doesn't change overnight. Like I found by being in a priority management process for about 2 months, I finally watched some of those fires dissipate because I was finally being a bit more proactive and they weren't happening. But those first 2 months were the hardest because I was still running around like a chicken with my head cut off and it was not changing. And I was still being disciplined to spending more hours on top of what I was already doing just to try and be organized. So,
Danny, one thing to throw in here too is I think that as we think about prioritization as an owner, we have to be good at saying no to lower priorities. And that's sometimes hard, especially when that could be saying no to an employee or a sub. You're like, hey, man, I know that you want this information from me, but I have a higher priority. I can't get to you until tomorrow on that. So I'm going to have to say, cool your jets on this. You know, stop blowing me up on text for this answer or whatever it is. Because I've got a higher priority that needs to happen. And that's a hard one.
We want to please people. I mean, I don't know if everyone's rooting that. I certainly am. Like, I want to be there for the people. And I also think there's just an element of like, I don't really trust everybody. So I'm just going to hold on to it more than I should. So let's get into this a little bit. What are the four keys? So I'm going to preface this a little bit. When I built this session, I was like, we could just narrow in on priority management, but I do want to hit something that was really important. This was one of the biggest takeaways I had when I went through this course years ago, is like, it's not okay to just prioritize what's in front of you. You need to step back and really look big picture about where you're actually heading for yourself personally and professionally, and use that to guide what you actually do day in and day out. So as we go through these four keys, you'll notice they're going to start fairly high level, and we're going to go from like, you know, what really matters to you in life, right? All the way down to what you're doing on Tuesday at 4 o'clock. walk through it step by step. So let's start with step one, which is more higher level. Understanding as a business and a business owner, as an entrepreneur, why you're doing what you're doing. And I think it's more easily defined when you first start an organization because you're excited, because there's an opportunity in front of you and you can see it. And you're like, we're going to do this. It's going to be amazing. And then 4 years later, you look back and you realize you're not focused on your why at all. You're just focused on what we talked about in the chat, which is like, we're just putting up fires every day. And it pulls not only you away from what's truly important, but your whole team away. from what's truly important. And people get distracted, right? So your entire organization, beyond even yourself, needs to know why they're doing what they're doing. And if you don't have that, you'll notice, I call it like there's grit in the gears. Like you'll notice like everything just feels harder. Your team doesn't quite know what's important. They don't quite care as much as they should. You lose your passion. And actually, when I watch people go through some of the worst times as an entrepreneur, this, I call it like crisis of meaning, where you're basically, and actually give me a yes or no in the chat, be honest with me. In the last 12 months, have you ever hit this point where you're driving maybe from job site to job site, or you're in the office, your mind is numb, and you're basically just like, I don't know why the hell we're doing what we're doing. Who's felt this? And you don't even have an answer. This is, thank you guys for being honest, right? It slows down everything because now you're not working to your best. Your people don't understand what their direction is. And the whole thing just feels nah, if nothing else. So starting with why, taking some time to define why you do what you do is massive. And it doesn't have to be such a crazy exercise. I know for me, like I go back to when I started this and I was like, I went from being a franchisee within a, you know, an organization under like this little college pro painting thing. And it changed my whole life. And I went from being this little, like, you know, 18-year-old kid running this small little business to being a successful business owner. And I realized entrepreneurship was a path that no one really told me was possible. They said, go get a job or, you know, basically go to school. Those were my options. And I found out there's this path called entrepreneurship. And I for 10 years spent time in that franchise organization realizing all I really want to do is show other people this. And to this day, that's still what I'm doing. And whenever we get off track, I go back to that young version of myself and be like, is that still why I'm here? And it truly is. And anything can hit me now. And I'm just like, but I'm on a mission. I've got something to do. Matt, on your end, I actually am curious. Why did you, when did you get like kind of clear on your why? And what did that do for you guys?
I have two whys, Danny, and I have two companies. I have a home building company. It looks like one of my project managers is on here. I've been chatting with him. And I have a video production company. And first, let me start with the video side. I really desire to change the way the home building industry operates in North America. I think we have history of building absolutely garbage houses in North America. And so every day I get up thinking, man, we're making a difference with this company that I've got. And it's been huge for me. I've loved seeing the transformation in the industry. And so that's my why on the video side. On the home building side, it's that same mission, but it's in a very tractional, you know, small format. We build six or seven houses a year and we build the heck out of them. We really have fun building really top-notch houses that families are going to thrive in, that are going to be around potentially for hundreds of years in the future. And so for those two companies, that's my why. And then personally, which affects my professional life, I have a faith in Jesus that propels me to help others and to care about more than just myself. And so, you know, I love the entrepreneurial world because I get paid to do all three of those whys. I get to help the industry. I get to build fabulous houses and I get to live out my life mission. And by the way, I get 3 weeks of vacation because I own my company. So I spend 3 weeks with my family in July. So I'm in an extremely charmed position, Danny, after 20 years of business that I look back every day and think, oh my gosh, how did I get here? What a blessing to be where I am. So that's the long answer.
Cool. Do you find your personal why is sometimes the more powerful one?
Oh, for sure. That's what gets me up every day. Absolutely. Totally.
I would caution slash like just speak to the audience a bit. Sometimes we draw up our business why and we want it to sound good and we want our customers to like it and we hope that it like really resonates with our team. Don't forget about your personal why.
Yeah, you can't fake it. On that side, you actually have to, you see all these business statements from companies, right? And you wonder, like, do the people really believe? Have you ever been to a business that has one on the wall and you're like, this person I'm talking to doesn't feel that way, right? They're surly. They don't want to be here. That business thing that's written on the wall is not accurate. And on the other hand, we've all dealt with businesses and with individuals, you're like, this guy, this company, this team, this person, they're solid. I really like them. And, you know, this is a relationship business that we're in, right? So we, especially as contractors, I'm guessing most people here are contractors. We get to decide, especially as the GC, who we get to work with. That's one of my favorite things about building is I get to work with the same people over and over again. And so my relationship isn't a one-off relationship. And so my purpose and why might be multiple years in developing people and developing friendships and developing teams. It's really fun.
It's amazing. It's great. Yeah. Without it, it feels hollow. And I felt in both scenarios before. And I've worked for an organization where, like you said, it's just on the wall. And I'm like, I don't resonate with this because I don't think the owner does, if we're honest. And I've been in positions right now, actually, where like, it's been a hard year. There's been lots of going on in the economy, AI's changing lots of things. And you're kind of like, but there's a greater purpose to this. And yeah. It's all good. Let the world do its thing. I'm going to focus on what we do best.
That's right.
Okay, let's get into stage two. So you've defined your why. You can now do a proper job strategic planner. And lots of people talk about strategic planning, and there's lots of ways to do this. I'll give you kind of our version. But I think the strategic plan really is ultimately building towards that wall. It's like, how do we get to where we want to be personally and professionally? And I'll say this too, like, I've noticed this in 10 years of even building BTA. You can get too myopically focused on building a strategic plan that is best for the company you run and forget that now you're just serving the plan all day long. This plan should also lead you towards your lifestyle of what you really want and need as an entrepreneur to be sustainable. Because I do think that as an entrepreneur, if you're in this for 5 years or so and you're just going 80 hours a week nonstop, you will burn out. You probably will not sustain that in the long term. And whether it's your health, your family or something, it's like, it's not a good way to be an entrepreneur. You need to make sure your personal why and your personal like needs are captured in the plan that you're about to go execute. So in that, we do have a little document we'll give all of you. So like I said, there's a bunch of stuff we'll give you at the end. It's a one-page strategic plan that will help define these things. I'll just show you a quick just image of it, but it'll start with the why. It'll then help you build out what's going to happen the next 3 years and go from there. The first kind of piece to this, past the why, I'm sure there's some good right slide up, is your BHAG. It stands for your big, hairy, audacious goal. And this is where when I'm talking about the personal and the professional, it's important to actually define what does this actually look like? What does your team look like? What does your marketing look like? What do your customers look like? What do the jobs look like? What are you doing on the weekends? How much time do you have off a week? What's your family like? What's going on in all aspects? And to really take this to the next level, there's a guy named Cameron Harold. We followed his process years ago. We built something called a painted picture, which was more than just like a one pager. It was like a 7 or 8 pager that described all of these things in detail. And it brought the whole thing to life. We built another one last year. I'm going to show you guys quick. But this is BTA's. And it starts to really help us understand as a company, like, who is our team? Who are our members? Who's our ideal customer? What's our kind of mission and what we're doing? What's our brand look like? All the different elements of what would even our org structure in the future. All the different elements of who we are and what we represent. And it's kind of like the North Star for everything we're going after. This is a lot of work, so I don't recommend or need everyone on the chat here to build that tomorrow. But it's something to think about. I think the clearer that vision is, the more not only you can make sure you're making things a priority to get towards that versus not, but your team can be a part of it as well. So
that's really cool. That's amazing.
A lot of work, but I think it's so many hours we lead every day. So not only for myself, I'm like looking at how many people are on our team. We have about 50. How many hours are they working in a year? Times that by about 2,000. And you realize like without that leadership in that direction, it's easy for those hours to get off in all kinds of directions. And then we're just busy picking up all the pieces.
Yeah, that's right.
So what do we do with this? What do we do with this big idea? We need to then build it down into some tangible stuff, right? So this is the basics of goal setting 101. We've got numbers. We've got some kind of key things we want to have done by the end of the year. So this is great in 3 to 4 years. What are we doing this year? Our first step to kind of get there. So this is an example, right? $6 million, 25% Jeep gross profit, maybe 10% net, 1,500 billable hours, top employer in our city, our province, and you take 2 weeks off vacation a year. It's specific, right? It's very clear what we're trying to go do. It's measurable. There's numbers tied to it. Not just, I want to be better. I want to double the company. No, it's like very measurable as to what we're trying to achieve. It's attainable. That's subjective to you as a business owner, but it's something that is not, we're going to 3X the company next year. It's like, no, like this is the next stage. We're going to grow 30%, right? And it's time bound. It's within a year. And a lot of people stop here and they kind of go, okay, we got some goals. Let's go for it. But I will caution you, more than just numbers, you need to also think about the initiatives that need to be in the business or built out in the business for those numbers to even exist. Right? If you're trying to double sales, how many more sales reps do you need? What kind of sales process should be defined? What kind of, you know, all these little elements that go along with it?
I mentioned at the top of the hour how I realized that planning and organization were really not my strong suits. And as I've owned a business out for 20 years, one of the things that I think has really helped in our business success has been hiring people that were really good at things that I was not good at. So, you know, whether it's day-to-day job site management, scheduling, organization, accounting, I did everything in the first probably 2 years that I owned my company. And I was doing everything, but I was not great at anything. The very first thing that I delegated out to, or not delegated, that I subcontracted out, I guess, was my accounting function. Mm-hmm. And it took me probably 18 months to get somebody to do, not accounting, bookkeeping is really the more correct term. I was always using an accountant for my taxes. But my day-to-day, month-to-month bookkeeping, I found somebody who could work part-time and they had a full-time job doing something else. It was like a giant weight lifted off my shoulders when I found somebody who was good at that, who could take that task. And so depending on where you are in your entrepreneurial journey, one of the things that I was going to talk about later was this, you know, things that you're not good at, find somebody who can do that for you so that you can do the things that you are really good at. Because if you're a business owner, there's probably a couple of things that you're fantastic at. And there's at least a half dozen things probably that you're awful at. And in today's day and age, there are part-timers likely that you can hire to do those things. That was harder to find 20 years ago. Today, I think it's a lot easier to find somebody to do your part-time bookkeeping, to potentially even be a part-time site super. We actually have one. He's not with us anymore. But for a long time, we had a guy that would come in from 3 or 3:30 to 6 p.m., and he would sweep the job, he would lock up, he would do different site maintenance and cleanup. And he was like the most incredible employee and worth every penny of the, I forget what we were paying, $25 an hour, let's say, for that person. Because that project manager that he was helping was able to get home for dinner with their family, didn't have to stay to lock up. It's just one example. But there's a ton of part-time people. And the other kind of category that I'd mention is people that are retired. I can think of several people that work for me that were formerly retired and either worked for me full-time or part-time that have been incredibly good employees, just really solid in their skills. And having those people come back into the workforce have been just game changers for me.
How many of you are working more than 50% of your time outside of what you're naturally good at? Let's throw that in the chat. Let us know this. Give us a yes or a no on this. But I find as the organization grows, we tend to take on our current job plus our last year's job plus our 3 years ago job plus our four. Yeah. It's a good thing to be conscious of. I'm going to give you guys an exercise at the end of today, just how to clear some of this up. But it's an annual audit that you have to kind of do with yourself and as your company grows with your team to make sure that people are in their power zone. And that becomes more and more possible, obviously, as you grow. But you have to be aware of it. So, okay, let me get us through some of this and we'll get to some of those topics. What the whole story I was talking about was the fact that to get those goals hit, you have to have the right implementation initiatives for each year, right? So this idea that like, hey, we have builder trend, but we don't really use it. It's like, well, if we're going to get bigger, we probably need to use, you know, whatever the customer portal for. We need to use the way that we do, you know, scheduling or estimating. It needs to be used in there if we're going to grow bigger. if we're going to take on more customers and I won't be on all job sites, I need a good review program to make sure that our quality of what we're doing is good. If we're going to get away from the workflow and put in project managers to take care of things, we probably need a more dialed workflow process, right? So all these little things need to be thought through ahead of time so they don't become problems or the fires that you guys are currently working on. You put them down for the year. You don't have to pick tons. Pick 3 to 5. And then think through each quarter, what is one element of that that could be worked on? Because you won't do all of this on a Tuesday. But this quarter, of all the stuff we could get done, what's the stuff that's actually going to help us towards the future of the organization, the future-oriented stuff? So we do a lot with our members, and this is just one element of it. But I find it is kind of a backbone to this whole thing that we do at Breakthrough Academy is, of the 7 things you could go do this next quarter, what's the 2 that actually matter? What's the 2 that actually move the business forward, actually have to do with the annual goal, which has to do with the 3-year kind of BHAG, which has to do with your why? And let's make sure we spend some time on that. Even just 5 hours a week is really all we're trying to get. And this is some of the results. Like Charlie is just one of 600 members we work with, but it's cool to watch, right? Like he hit his BHAG 2 years early, almost 4X'd his company, but in the process also worked half the amount of time. And it wasn't necessarily about just like working harder. It was about the fact that there was certain things that needed to be done. And like you were saying, Matt, there's a whole lot of stuff that didn't, especially by him. And he could like not being the bottleneck for all people. I'm curious for you, Matt, when did things become a little more strategic than reactionary? And what kind of happened as a result in your role?
I hired a COO in 2014 or 2015. Danny, and in hindsight, you know, I wish I would have jumped on board with BTA around that same time. I probably would be in a similar spot, but I hired basically a COO that was a retired business guy that totally helped me transform my business, and that was a real turning point for me.
He's like the exact opposite. He's the yin gear yang.
100% true. 100% true. And all the things that I was not great at, he was extremely strong. And in my strengths, he was weak. And so we were able to really make some serious changes and implement some financial goals that we've really been able to execute on for a decade now. And so we've totally transformed the business. But again, for those listening, that's not always, you know, finding a business guy for a guy like me who's not naturally great at the business side of construction isn't necessarily the best path forward. But quick plug for my friends at BTA. I've known these guys now, Danny, his team, for 4 years, Danny, or three, yeah. 4 years.
Yeah.
And I've met a bunch of folks that are in the BTA program, including some that you've probably seen in some videos of me, that have just absolutely transformed their business and their personal lives by getting their business in really good shape. It's like hiring a personal trainer for your business, so to speak, instead of for your exercise regimen. So, I mean, this could be something that you could potentially jump on instead of hiring a COO like I did.
I find our coaches, we've been hiring a lot this year, and I find our coaches are kind of like fractional COOs for a lot of the members. They're there to hold tension and accountability to what truly matters and get into the details and help guide that whole process.
Yes. So, yeah, that's right.
Cool. Okay. So just real quick recap, we've got a why. We know why we're doing what we're doing. Very important. We've got a bit of a strategic plan to help guide us in that general direction. Now let's talk about more of the day-to-day stuff. Right, the priority management, the actual taking time to make sure that the actual goal is aligned with what we do every day. And this is different than time management, which I think a lot of people get confused. This is not a crazy complicated process, but it is something that needs discipline and rigor on a week-to-week basis. So step one in this is we need to do a brain dump. Okay, so taking time every week to just write down all the things that we have in front of us. And not just reacting every day to like whatever comes in is the loudest bell, ringing bell, but take some time to actually write it all down. Because what I find a lot of us do are just chasing fires every single week. It literally was in the chat. It's funny. It was in the chat at the beginning of this conversation. But do a weekly brain dump and actually look at what you have ahead of you. And a bit of a pro tip for those of you who have built a strategic plan or are going to build a strategic plan, pull up your strategy plan, look at the quarterly section and say, are there things for this week ahead that have to do with where we're going this quarter? Mm-hmm. Question yourself on that. Because it's very easy to do an annual plan, maybe even a quarterly review, but then never look at that thing again. Now we have things from our quarter that we're going to want to look at. And the best thing I would recommend in all of this is actually thinking through what's the actual step-by-step stuff that has to get done that's more schedulable to get that, say, like Q3 rock done. So if we want to finalize our pre-construction workflow in Q3, what are the steps to do that? Well, obviously, we got to write it. We might want to even use AI to streamline it. We might want to get our project manager's input before we kind of give it to anybody. We're probably going to trial it, maybe just on one project to see how it actually functions. Then we can build out a builder trend template and actually put it into the system, make it real. And then finally, we can roll it out to the whole team. And these are all things that can be done in a 1 good 4 hour, maybe 5 hour work period in a given week. And we're going to pick not only what week we're going to do these things, but every week we kind of reference, Kate, we're going to slot that in for that 3 hour thing, maybe that thing for the 2 hour thing. But hey, Tim's actually going to do this other thing. I'm going to make sure he gets that piece done. And slowly make sure every week has something to do with where we're heading long term. Okay. Now, within all of this stuff, whether it's your brain dump, whether it's the quarterly planning stuff that you're looking at, something very simple, so simple, but I think so many of us miss on this, is to get your tasks and label them A, B, or C. Because what we do normally is we have a big task list and we just start at the top and work down to the bottom. Or I find the worst habit, I'm guilty of this. I work on the stuff I like, right? I do all the things I love to do. I do all the things I'm naturally good at, and I avoid all the stuff that I'm naturally not. And so I get this lopsided build out of stuff that's like, we have great leadership and everyone's super motivated and feels really good, but the systems aren't as well defined as they should be, right? So A tasks, A things have to be done by the end of the week to hit the goal. Bs are pretty high impact, but they could be done next week, but extra space you're going to use for your Bs. And Cs, often to-do list things that can be put in, but aren't going to make a massive impact where we're actually heading. And what I'll say about Cs and just everything else that goes on in your calendar in general, the only way that this becomes really realistic is when you learn to say no. You go through the list and you realize, like, that's not going to happen. At least I'm not going to be doing that anymore. And if you don't do this on a weekly basis, what happens is everybody else hijacks your schedule. Everyone's got their needs, your team, your customers, whatever it is. And you're kind of like looking at next week being like, well, I guess that's what I'm up to because that's what everybody's got me scheduled for. So understanding what this actually process is, it's super simple. It's A, B, and C's. And where, how to really start to say no and cut out a lot of those C's. And also what is just a complete waste of time. How many have seen this before? Just give me a quick yes or no. It's something that's, it helps you define what you're actually spending time in. So there's tasks that I think a lot of us are in, which is urgent and highly important things. There's tasks that we do that are not really urgent, but they're super important. There's tasks that we do that are really not that important, but they feel super urgent. They're like constantly hitting us. Like, we need to get to this now. And then there's stuff we do that we probably don't admit to that are not very urgent and not very important. Just a quick poll. What quadrants do you guys, or girls, what quadrant do you guys think you're in right now? And Matt, you got a lot done in a day and in a week. What quadrant are you spending the most amount of time in right now? And what percent of that is in evening Q2, realistically?
Yeah, that's a good question. I was just thinking about how to answer that for myself too. I mean, I think that I do spend a pretty fair amount of time in the upper half, which is the important half. It is true that it's really easy to get down to quadrant four where you're like, oh, I should make sure my inbox is all fully read. You're like, why? You know, that's a newsletter from REI. Like, I don't need to delete that. Like, I should be doing that once a week on Saturday. As a side note, actually, to help with that particular thing, I got this program called Sane Box, S-A-N-E Box. It filters all my email and sends me a digest twice a day. So anybody who's not in my contacts folder, including any newsletters and any of that kind of stuff, gets filtered. And I get a digest once in the morning and once at the end of the day from them. That's usually 100 emails that pulls it out of my regular inbox. So I don't see that. I'm only seeing client emails and team member emails and all those things that really are probably somewhere in the important realm. and all the unimportant realm stuff, I'll either do first thing in the morning or I'll do last thing in the day just to kind of clean it up. And that's actually helped me quite a bit to get out of number four on a minute by minute basis. So I don't check my phone's email more than maybe once or twice a day. And some days, like yesterday, I went all day without looking at email once. And I was like, oh, that's actually really helpful for me not to do that. Not to just look at this thing that's calling for my urgent but non-important attention.
You know what? When I get stuck in quadrant four stuff, I'm like, this is literally taking away from my time with my kids.
For sure.
I'm just like, this is 15 minutes, but there's 15 minutes that happens three or four times a day. There's my hour, and there's me being an hour late for dinner or whatever it is.
How many, here, comment on this in the comments, y'all. How many times have you been on social media and your kid is like, hey, dad, hey, dad, hey, dad, or mom, or whoever you are. And you're like, man, I wish these kids would go away or shut up or stop bothering me. And then you're like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? I'm doom scrolling at 7 p.m. in the bedroom when I should be talking to my actual family. That is such a brutal realization when that happens to you. On a family note, we implemented that after dinner, everybody's phone has to be on the family desk, the kitchen desk on the charger. And if you want to go check your text or return a text, no problem. But you have to do it from that location. So there's no phones allowed in the bedroom spaces, which is upstairs. And after dinner, everyone's phone has to be not in their pocket, not on the couch with them. It has to be in this one location. And they're like, well, are you going to do this, dad? I was like, yeah, I am. We're all going to do this. We need to get some of the urgency out of the way and deal with important things.
We all need digital detox, I think. I think if we're all honest, it's captured most of the population at this point. So,
yep.
And AI is not making it easier, actually. It's amplifying it. So it's like even more important to protect your mind from it. So, and yeah. I get it. You can put your hand up on this, but it's like, I am not free of this. These are things that I'm constantly battling. The whole phone by the bedside thing, that is like cancerous. I've seen it. You wake up at 4 a.m. randomly, the minute you put your phone in front of you, it's game over. It's like, this was not good. All right.
For sure.
Let's keep on. Okay, so we've talked a bit about how to prioritize the things that are in our plan plus our day-to-day stuff. Now we need to do time management, right? And this is the process of determining where things should actually go in the agenda and how to have some flow to our actual week, right? So we're looking at this list of things and we're starting to actually say, okay, well, how much time does this stuff actually take? What am I actually able to do? Matt, I don't know if you found this, but I find everything in business takes twice as long and often costs three times as much. Have you ever... Like we have this like
100%.
Was the idea of what's going to happen this week. Start to actually assign time in this way. And we're going to give everyone a little sheet to fill this out. This is an exercise that if you've never done it before, it really brings things to life. Our coaches will do this with a lot of our members and it really helps like say, this is actually what we're going to do. And we're not going to go and say, we're going to do seven things. We're going to do two, three. So just for example, right? We're trying to hit a goal. Let's say it's 200 grand booked. For the next, or sorry, 200 grand produced for the next week. We're trying to produce or sorry, book 125,000 and we need to plan on next quarter. Well, just like I showed you earlier, what's the task breakdown of those things and what priority level do they sit for the week? And then really importantly, how much time do these things actually take? And you shouldn't and don't need to be doing all of these things. So who else on the team should be taking on some of this? Once you've, and this will take you 20 minutes to probably do. Once you've done this, actually block schedule it in for that amount of time in the next week or two coming up. And it really brings to reality what's actually possible. And it helps you focus on what you actually should be doing versus just a bunch of busy work all the time. And you'll realize like there's not enough time for everything you think that you want to get done. But that's okay. Like go do things once well versus six times kind of half-assed when you have a little bit of time in between meetings or whatever it is.
Is this part of the package that you're giving us at the end, Danny? This is really good.
Yeah. Wow. So there'll be an example in here, just like I'm showing you. And then there'll be a little block schedule example. And then you can start, there'll be a template as well that we'll give you. So you can start to just make this a part of your week. Put this in, and start to think through where what I'm actually doing in the next week or two. Nice. How much does that actually have to do with where we're heading? So, cool, cool. All right. Now we're going to take those tasks, just like I was saying, and we're going to block schedule them. So the things that matter are probably the things like leading my team. So I don't have a whole session prepared on this today for you guys, but I have my team meetings usually on Monday and Tuesday, and I'm driving everybody forward. I'm then looking at all my reporters and blocking them in. My Bs, put those in next. One little tip, put in 10% of time between meetings for slush time. So between each thing that you're doing, you probably need a little bit of 15-minute break, get some coffee. The meeting goes over. You're not rushing from thing to thing, and you can clear your mind and get ready for the next activity. I find, especially for entrepreneurs, our jobs are so dynamic. We do a little bit of everything. We just need a little bit of a mental shift before we jump into the next thing.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. And then final thing is just set some what I call plan to plan time. I think our team calls it priority management time, but that's what I'm talking about, where every week you're reflecting on that cheat sheet I just showed you. That's like a Friday activity. Could be a half an hour, could be up to an hour. But it's time to actually look back and see how did we do, which leads into this kind of step three. So reflecting on your previous week, what did you do? What did you miss? And most importantly, why? And with that stuff, actually, don't forget about it. Usually grab it and find where it fits in the next week, because there will be stuff that you'll miss. And then here's the little thing I figured out years ago. I was doing this on Fridays and trying to plan out my next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week. And the problem was it was already chock full of stuff. So it was almost like too late for me to make much of an impact. And so I would look at it and I would try and tweak what I could. But as soon as I started prioritizing out the next 2 weeks, so I'm sitting there on Friday and I'm looking 2 weeks out, I had a lot more open space there. I could actually start to structure my week the way it should be.
This kind of 2 week planning thing, I still struggle with that. I actually have more than one person that helps me with calendar on my team. And the part that I'm responsible for, I'm always really bad at. One thing that I've done personally, though, that's helped with this is my wife and I sit down on a Sunday, usually after dinner, and look at the calendar for the week. And part of that's because I'm traveling some. Like, I was gone last night, and so we had to figure out the logistics of who's picking a kid up if I'm not there, or who's dropping off, and all those kinds of things. But it's really helped us personally and me professionally to think through, all right, what does my week look like? How do I talk that through with my wife and my family? So a family meeting or a spouse meeting of some variety on a once a week basis can be really that's been really valuable to me. On a team basis, I'm trying to think how we do it on a team basis. I have somebody who helps me with travel and getting things scheduled ahead of time at work. And that's been really good for me to have somebody else help me with those kinds of things. Because again, I'm not naturally great at that planning feature.
Okay. One final good point on this I wanted to make. So the first thing that I find when you're trying to do this type of stuff is I actually don't have time to do this stuff. You know what I mean? It's like a chicken and egg thing. It's like to sit down and actually plan out where I'm going and break it all down. I don't really make space, let alone have space. I'm already working too much. With all of our members, this is an early exercise we do with everybody to help alleviate some of the space. And if there's one thing that I think is super actionable from this one webinar, it's this. So make a list of what you do every single week. What are all the things? And don't just go high level with it. Like, go granular. This is where the nuggets actually really are. And I want you to circle the stuff that's high time consumption, but low skill. So what are the things that are like, this takes up 3 hours, 6 hours, 10 hours of my week. And it's really like something I probably should hire out for $10 an hour, maybe $50 an hour, but it's not stuff that you should probably be doing. Maddie, and I can give you some examples on my end, but what are some things even in your list or in your brain when you think about that? And actually in the chat, while we're doing that, what are some of those things that are in your week right now for everyone listening? What are the things that we're doing that are high time consumption, but low skill?
High time consumption, but low skill. That's interesting. Nothing comes to mind immediately on that one, but I would say the opposite comes to mind more for me. I'm working on we've been working actually for a long time on like a new building standard. I think we're going to call it the Build HD standard. And that one has been high skill, but low amount of actual like work time. And that one has been, that's in the not urgent, but extremely important quadrant, Danny. And that's been a really, that's been one that I think about and have been working on off and on for a long time over the course of the last year.
It's kind of like the one thing. It's like, what's the one thing that makes the biggest amount of impact that I'm doing? It's cool.
Yeah.
Opposite view on this. That's good. I see lots in here. There's organizing, project analytics, gathering materials for jobs, grocery shop. Totally. So here's what you do with them. You need to think through when and how and should this be delegated. So should this be a part of someone else on my team's basically role or job description? There's a lot of things that we do this year or in the last couple of years that probably could be automated, but we've just never looked at a solution for it. Or there's enough of this stuff. It's usually things where you can hire out the next role for, right? If you look at, mine was admin. So I was working early BTA, 60, 70 hours a week. And half of that was all the backend stuff. Now we were talking to my business partner, Igor, who is like super detail-oriented human being. And he's like, I don't understand why this takes you so long. And I was like, it takes me hours to do what it takes him 10 minutes to do. I was like, I need a bit more of your brain, but I need someone who actually has time because he's busy doing his part of the organization. And we hired a girl named Caitlin Kaufman. And my productivity literally doubled overnight.
Oh, holy cow.
One of the least expensive roles in the organization, she's admin, one of the highest impacts as a result of doubling my productivity. And so there's so many little things that I think we do every day that we're like, well, I just need to do it. We talked about this earlier in the webinar, but it's like, what's the opportunity cost of doing those things? And how much time is that taking away from you as an owner? There's a lot of things that we do that probably are $30 an hour tasks. And if we really look at it and how much revenue we're in charge of this year and how much we need to drive, we're probably worth about $500 an hour in the impacts and things we should be doing. So, okay. Recap on where we came, all the way from like high level stuff. Why are you doing what you're doing personally and professionally? What's the strategic plan to actually get there and start to define that? Then using that plan to at least influence, I would say about 5 hours a week of things that are a priority that make your calendar. And if you can take more, take more. And slowly over time, block scheduling out your calendar and making sure you have, I almost call it like themes to my day. Right, I'm on Mondays, I'm leading my team. Fridays, I'm thinking through the future of the company. Midweek, I often leave that open for, you know, my job, my stuff to do. And I'm allowing myself to have themes to when I work best, whether it's in the morning, afternoon, Mondays, Fridays, and have some semblance of normalcy to being an entrepreneur. So
those are four big ones, Danny. This is really valuable time.
It's a lot of stuff. So I will say this, because I wrote all this and I was thinking through it and I was like, I think a lot of people that we're going to talk to probably know this stuff, like conceptually, but I still think, and I know most of us still go off track.
Yep.
Why do you think that is, Matt? What's your opinion?
I think the tyranny of the urgent is what does it for me. And I think that's one that probably most people can relate to, that, you know, you get that phone call, that text, that whatever it is, and it just, you know, you don't want to disappoint. You want to help somebody. You want to make your team members feel supported, whatever it is. And you get going on something else. And you know, it's like the dog who sees the squirrel. And all of a sudden, you're chasing the squirrel when you need to be back guarding the front door. I think that's mine for sure. I easily get distracted. And the other thing that happens to me that I think's ruined our productivity is texts. I got one a minute ago that I responded to, and then I was like, this is a freaking webinar about prioritizing my time. And this is not, it is a team member. But still, like, what am I doing? Like, I need to always turn my phone to do not disturb for big blocks of time, not just for 10 minutes on a webinar. Cause it dinged and I looked at it and I was like, oh, I can answer that. You know, Danny's talking, I'll take this. So there's your squirrel that I followed for 5 minutes. It's still,
we literally all have a bit of ADD. And if some of us are diagnosed with it, but I think as an entrepreneur, you get it because you have, like you just said, you have so much going on and there's just so many different things. And then I look at this as a bit of an acronym because not everyone has actually diagnosed ADD, but it is another dark distraction and it constantly hits. And it's reality because the world is moving way too fast.
Yeah.
As entrepreneurs, we're already tuned this way and we take on more than we should. And I think as a business owner, we might start a business being like, I can take all this on. It's fine. But within a year, two, 3 years, all those things have amplified and become more. And if we're not careful, we get caught in all of it constantly. And I think honestly, too, Matt, I think we're a bit addicted to it. I think we like that constant rush of always being needed and always going. So I know with our owners that we work with at BTA, it's kind of one of these things where it's like, look, guys, we can teach you all the cool, fancy strategies and give you all the templates you want. At some level, I think a lot of us just need accountability to be held with focus. Yeah,
that's right.
So this is a lot of what we do. And we have, I think, 600 businesses we're working with right now. And I see massive financial impact of all of this. This is literally the average in 1 year, but we see revenue moving up. We see net profit moving up quite a bit. And it just comes down to focusing on the one thing, the right stuff. And not giving up on all the other things just to kind of go take care of that one customer issue or take that one extra text and being disciplined to it. And hopefully you guys saw today, like, we are not perfect. Like, I don't claim to be perfect. I don't think Matt does either. I think all of us just need a little more accountability to actually do this stuff right. So,
I mean, that's what you said earlier about, I was kind of using the personal training reference to what you guys do in terms of business training, getting in shape. The accountability portion, the coaching portion, really is a really good analogy. I have a group of guys that I work out with on Friday morning. It's kind of like a group personal training session, so to speak. And that coach, if I'm not there, is texting me like, Reisinger, what the heck are you doing traveling on Fridays and missing this? Like, this is important. And, you know, sometimes I can't help it, but even if I'm not there, I know I'm getting a text from him. Like, what the heck? Like, you didn't text me last night saying you were going to be here. Tell me you didn't sleep in, right? Which I've gone for 5 years now. I've never once slept in because I know I'm going to get a text from him. He's going to keep me accountable. And I really try to move my travel schedule around it too. And even my personal family schedule. I'm moving my daughter into Texas A&M on Friday. And I already told my family, hey, I want to make my 6 a.m. workout so we can't leave till 8:30 when I'm home and showered, y'all. So that accountability, that coach, these systems that Breakthrough Academy can help you implement in your business, they're a really, really solid organization with fabulous people. So as a quick non-paid sponsorship that I want to say, if you're interested in BTA, you should talk to them. This is an amazing organization and they can really, really help you drive your business forward. And I would tell you also that it costs way less than hiring a COO, which I did 10 years ago. And I've paid probably seven figures worth of money over the last, more than that, over the last 10 years to my COO. So this is a really vital thing you can do for your business.
Thanks, Matt. Yeah, it's a gap. It's something I grew up with. When I was 18, I had a coach. And he was my franchisor. He led me how to do all, taught me how to do all this stuff. But I don't think I'd be a functional human being without someone leading the way with me. And I think as entrepreneurs, we often go off on our own to get away from having a boss. But I really think at the end of the day, we all need a little bit of a boss. We need someone to help direct us and guide us and show us what to do. And there's a whole other thing. We won't talk about a BTA a ton, but there's a whole other community here of entrepreneurs that I'm just blown away with. Like, you don't have to do it alone anymore either. And get to know that, like, hey, we're kind of all a little bit wild and crazy. And guess what? That's okay, but we can also work on it. We don't have to make excuses for it. So, cool. Let's get you guys your templates in a second. I have one last question for all of you. What was your biggest takeaway today? And more importantly, like, what will you actually do with what we've talked about, right? Because we've talked about defining your why. We've talked about setting up a strategic plan. We've talked about having a bit more of a priority management process to how we decide what's truly important in our week. And we've talked a bit about managing that into our calendar and our time blocks. If there is one of these things, what's the thing that you would actually work on leaving this hour-long webinar? Because otherwise we wasted an hour, which I hope we did not. What's the one thing that you feel is relevant and something you can actually take on that will help you in the future of the organization? We've got some people coming in. The why, priority management, ADD, Yeah. Planning ahead. Totally.
I think for me, the time block is a really good one for me, Danny. I'm pretty good at keeping a to-do list and a weekly priorities list, but I'm not great at time blocking those. At various times I've been really good about taking like the first hour of Monday to say, all right, here's my priorities. Where am I going to fit them in? And let me block my calendar so I don't get a meeting that gets up in that period of time, or I don't, have to do something else when I get to Friday night and this isn't done. So I think that resource and that thinking of, hey, here's my priorities. Where do I fit these in and actually block my time for these? Just like you show in that example above, that can be really powerful for saying, hey, if I get to end of the week and I haven't finished this, I failed. So let me make sure that I actually block my time and leave that 10. You're really smart to say, leave that 10% fluff in there. The days that I have back-to-back meetings, I'm like twice as tired at the end of the day, because you're the first 15 minutes of the meeting, you're still trying to get oriented to what you're doing. So if you can have that time to have a little slush time in there too, and not block out every single hour of your day into various meetings, it's going to make a big difference.
It guides the process is what it does. Cause you can sit there and be like plan to plan time and have nothing to do. You'll usually just not do it. Mm-hmm. But that sheet forces the process. It's like, I need to fill this out and actually make sure I'm prepared.
Yep.
It's good. Sure. You've got some stuff coming up, Matt. Before we even give templates, let's talk about this. The Build Show Live coming up October 16th, 18th. We're both going to be there. A bunch of other builders. Do you want to speak to this?
Yeah, guys. If you want to come, we would love to have you. This is going to be a fantastic couple of days of training, fellowship. Just like you saw in the chat today, other people have the same problems as you do, or have a similar feeling about time management as you do. That's, I think, one of the best things about a conference like Build Show Lives. It's really intended for folks like you and I that are running day-to-day businesses. You're not going to see Toll Brothers at this conference. This is really intended for contractors like us. We've got 50 education sessions. There's also a VIP pass. We do have a discount code for you, by the way. If you use BTA25, that's 25% off the kind of basic pass. The education and the VIP, there's not a discount code on those, so you got to pay full price for those. But trust me, it's worth it. These are really, really good. This is really good. Two and a half days of education. VIPs on Thursday. That includes job site tours and some really good stuff with only 300 people. So it's a very small group. And then the show opens Friday. We've got like 200 some vendors that are going to be there. All the good people you've seen in the Build Show. We've told them to bring their tech people, not just their salespeople. So if you've got a question for Zender about, what's the difference between this model ERV and that model ERV, they're going to have the people there. And you want to definitely take their business cards and program them so that you can actually get some of those contacts. Almost any manufacturer, when I have a question, I've got somebody in my phone I can call. And that's the purpose of a trade show sometimes, is to really make those connections. And then, Danny, you've got a bunch of your folks coming as well, don't you, for some of the business focus sessions?
We got a big part of our team coming. And I just want to say this too, Matt. Like, the sessions are one thing. That's what happens between the sessions, I find, is really cool. You're bringing together a group of very like-minded people. And when you guys get time to network with those types of people, it makes a huge difference. And I think you've done a very good job of just cultivating your core values into everyone that watches you and listens to you and follows you. And for those who are willing to come out and spend some time and money to come and do this, you kind of bring the cream of the crop together. So come and meet the people, I would say. When I see these types of events, I think you do a very good job of that.
I appreciate that. Like I just saw in the comments, Kevin Wolf bought his VIP ticket. He couldn't make it that last year. He's coming this year. There's going to be really good time for you to meet other people that are like-minded to you, but are in different markets. And when you've got friends in different markets, it's really easy to say, hey, I'm struggling with this issue. And you wouldn't want to call necessarily your buddy in the same market on that issue. Maybe it's something on your books. Maybe it's your profit margin. Maybe it's what you're charging for your pre-construction services. But having friends in the industry and non-competing markets means you can actually have real conversations about the inner workings of your business. And that happens a lot in BTA too, but it's good to have friends throughout the industry.
And we've got a couple of events that are really just intended for that. Like Friday night after the show floor ends, we've got a whole tailgate night with a bunch of food truck vendors. We're going to be hanging out for 2 or 3 hours after the show ends, right outside the show floor, and doing a tailgate event. So that's the kind of time that you can really meet and talk to people and get people that you can ask questions for and get to know year round, not just a one-time event. So anyways, hope you guys will join us. Buildshowlive.com is the website.
Awesome. All right. Let's get some next steps for everybody. So there's going to be a link in the chat. There's going to be a blue bubble that pops up for those who are on Livestorm. If you're in the live stream on YouTube and social media, it should be in the comments section pinned to the top. But to get some resources on this, to get a strategic planning template, to get a priority management template, so that thing we just talked about, to every single week sit down and actually focus on, a block scheduling example, and the exercise to actually help reclaim 5 hours a week of your schedule, make sure you click this link to get them. One thing you'll find in there is ask you whether or not you want to talk to BTA. So our whole thing is there's probably 10 to 20% of the people that are listening right now that are working on bettering their business, trying to grow. They're trying to figure out what the right path to get there is. And there's a lot of distractions along the way. If you're kind of ready to actually jump in and talk to us, I think you probably, you know, this next kind of, we have, I think 20 spots for the next 2 weeks. Probably good to have a conversation. We're not really selling you at this point at all. It's more of a, let's see what's going on. What are your biggest challenges? And is what we can we do actually help? And we're going to flip the script. So instead of me talking for this last hour, our team will listen to you. If we can help you, amazing. If we can't, we're going to try and point you in the right direction. We can send you some more resources. But if you want in one of those 20 spaces, our team's ready. I've got them kind of all their time blocked out for the next 2 weeks to make sure we can handle some of these calls. And one-on-one, we're going to get to know you better. And we're going to see if what we do would actually help you properly. Not on your end. I mean, you've known BTA for a while, but for programs like this in the industry, why should people do this? What's your opinion? Matt, can you hear me?
Oh, I'm sorry. We asked me a question. I was looking at that.
Totally. In general, even though BTA for a long time, and there's other programs like this, like why should builders do just like business development work? Why do you need a coach? What's your thoughts behind all this?
Oh, man. I mean, I think you said it best. One of my favorite quotes was everyone needs a boss. I really like that. I mean, we like to think of ourselves as independent and free thinkers. But yet, you know, I use the example of my coach on Friday saying, you know, where the heck are you? You know, we need people to hold us accountable. And part of that is having a coach and having a boss. I think it's really good for us to have that accountability in our lives. So, you know, BTA can be that. And I think the other thing, Danny, about BTA that's really different is it doesn't just give you a coach. It gives you a core group of people that you meet with on a regular basis. And you have really business-minded conversations with, Danny. So I think it's a fabulous organization. I'm so glad we got connected a couple of years ago.
It's been 10 years of building this thing, and I'll say I've learned over the years, I'm like, we all kind of have the same stuff. We're all working on the same stuff, and I don't think we all need to do it alone.
Yep.
You know, we've taken time to build things once extremely well. We've taken time to understand the entrepreneur and how they learn, and then what I really find is to establish them with a good coach to actually be held accountable, doing what they deep down probably have always wanted to do, but have never fully done themselves.
Yeah. So.
Okay. For those of you who have some space, we have about 5 or so minutes to do some Q&A. So in the moderator chat, my team, if you guys want to get some questions answered by Matt or by me, make sure you type them in the chat. Our team will take those and we'll see if we can answer a few things for you guys. Let's give me a sec to get to them. All right. So first from Marco Riviera, Matt, how did you negotiate the pay or partnership with your own COO when you first hired him? How do you negotiate the pay and partnership process for him?
Yeah, I think I mentioned briefly that particular person was currently retired and was thinking about getting back into, it's a longer story. I'll tell the shortened version. Basically, we negotiated this was actually his idea. Why don't I come work for you for a period of time for free? And let's make sure that this is something that would be beneficial to us both. And frankly, he had been retired for a little while. I think he was a little like, would I like working here? Would this be something that I could make a valuable contribution? And then after we get together, then we'll decide what the pay is. And so he worked literally for free for a month. And we were both like, this is, oh my gosh, yes, I would love to have you come on full time. And at that point, I don't think I even realized what I was committing to in terms of some of the things that he would change, but I could tell already he was what, one of y'all said earlier, he was my yin to, maybe that was you, Danny. He was the yin to my yang, you know, where he was really strong, I was not great at, and working to that for that period of time, we actually, did some testing together both so we could see where we were at, through, DDI International in Pittsburgh. I've used them for a long time. But then we negotiated he made a really good salary. I mean, this is a six-figure employee with a six-figure bonus if we hit our targets. So this is a high-level person. I did not give him a piece of the business, though, to be honest. A few years later, about 5 years later, I actually did bring on a business partner as that guy was slowing down and another guy had really taken on more responsibilities. And I realized that I was spending most of my time in Build Productions, which is my video production company that runs the Build Show and Build Show Live and all that stuff. So I have a couple key partners that own a small percentage of that video company, but I have one key partner that is a 50% owner in Reisinger Build, my home building company. That's Tim Hill. And I call myself the founding partner. He's the managing partner, and we really make sure that clients are clear, like, hey, Matt's not in your jobs on a daily basis. He may attend a meeting every once in a while, but Tim's the guy that runs the show. So that's kind of the fast version of how we work that out.
I find with a lot of it, it's like core values first. Are we aligned? Do we think and act for the same reasons in life? Then we can start to talk about structure, role, pay, all that kind of stuff. So
yeah. Hey, Danny, I hate to say it. I need to bounce. I go to the school meeting. Okay. Thanks for your time, everybody.
Okay. Thanks, Matt. I will stay on for a couple questions that I think I can answer. But Matt, thanks for being with us, man. Appreciate your time.
All right, guys. We'll see y'all later. Thank you so much. See you soon, guys.
All right. Daryl asks, best way to find quality people, headhunting, organizations, ads, staffing sources. Daryl, I'm going to give you three tactics, I would say, that are fairly hands-on that I think should really help with this. So maybe even in the chat, how many of you are struggling with hiring right now? You need to find good people, and it's hard even just to get a good resume in. Let me give you some thoughts on this. So the first thing is networking, as we all know, like our staff's network is the most valuable thing. Now, everybody says that, but there's a massive missed piece in what you can do to network with your people. One thing we do every single year is we'll set up every single year I would do this as probably a mainstay, but you could do this more often if you'd like. My whole team will get together, say on a Thursday at like 3 o'clock. And we'll be like, okay, we're going to do a bit of a networking exercise. And I want you to message 100 to 200 people each. And I don't want you to ask them if they want a job, but I want you to ask them if they know anybody who'd be a good fit. What I do to prepare for that meeting is I'm drawing up what I call an ideal candidate profile. So who is this person? What are their wants, needs, fears, aspirations? And what do they kind of look like? From there, I'm going through that profile with my team, and I'm giving them kind of like a high level understanding of what this person is. And then I'm saying to them, I want you to message 100 to 200 people each, and not saying, do you want a job? Are you looking for a job? But do you know anybody who'd be a good fit? So the messaging, usually through Facebook Messenger, text message, stuff like that. They're just saying, hey, so-and-so, our company XYZ is currently looking for a person in XYZ role. Curious if you might know anybody who'd be a good fit. Please see link below. P.S. We're offering a $1,000 hiring bonus. If you do know anyone, be happy to share that with you. So there's always a bit of an incentive. I've got the ad already pre-set up with a link, and my whole team is messaging it out, seeing if they would know anybody who'd be a good fit. From that, I find that, you know, say I have 10 staff doing that exercise, you can get 1,000 direct messages out to people that are in your staff's direct network. Whether they're a good fit or not, it's not really that important. It's that they're suddenly realizing, hey, my cousin Tim would look perfect for this. And maybe that's a good fit. Cool. Or my cousin Tim has a network of somebody else who knows somebody. But if you don't do that and sit down with everybody, usually what happens is you just say, hey, do you know anybody who would be a good laborer? Like, yeah, I'll check my friend network, but I don't really think anyone's available. And nothing really comes of it. Sit your team down. I usually do like, you know, pizza and beer, pizza and pop for a few hours together. And we just message out our network together. Now, with that, you can also go to LinkedIn. And LinkedIn is a bit more for the professional network. So if you're looking to hire a project manager or a sales manager or an office admin. I'll do a very similar exercise on LinkedIn where I'm using LinkedIn Recruiter. You spend a little bit of money to do it, but I can click to connect with a lot more people that way. And I'm sending them a very similar message. The only difference is I'm putting in like a personal note as well. So let's say I'm sending a message to somebody, you know, hey, so-and-so, I noticed you worked at Enterprise Rent-A-Car. That's awesome. I hear they have really good management training. Our company XYZ is looking for a person in XYZ role. Curious if you know anybody, please see link below. You know, PS, we're offering a $1,000 hiring bonus. The neat thing about LinkedIn Recruiter is I can search for very specific people, people that have worked for specific organizations, have very specific job roles, and start to really narrow down my search for those types of messages to, again, go to like minds. I'm not asking them if they want a job. Again, I'm asking them if they know anybody who would be a good fit, right? And also offering a bit of a hiring bonus. And the third thing that I think a lot of us miss on is that whether you use a corporate recruiter, whether you're doing this manual recruitment, whether you're putting job ads out in Indeed and all that kind of stuff, we're not reusing the actual applications that we get. And so one thing I always do with an application when it comes in is I'll sit down and be like, hey, I'll read through it. I'll rate them out of 10. I'll then put the role that they interviewed for as the actual role, as the file name, and then my last interaction with them. And I'll save all of those resumes for all time. And anytime I need somebody in a certain role, I will go to my Dropbox folder, my Google Drive folder, or actually best practice if you have an LMS system, an ATS system, an applicant tracking system, it's all held in there. And anytime we're opening up for a new role, I'm messaging those people. But the best thing is I've already got them rated out of 10. So I'm not usually messaging like my fours and my threes and my twos, but I'm messaging my sevens, my eights, my nines, my tens. And suddenly I've got this ever-increasing pool of potential applicants that I can always message at all times. So those are three quick wins. Networking with your team properly, doing a little networking exercise, getting into LinkedIn Recruiter for more professional roles and having more of a messaging sequence for them. And then the final thing is using the apps that I've accumulated to reuse over time. All right. What else do we have that would be good here? How do you balance managing employees while overseeing, coaching their fires, non-active projects, and big picture planning and company management? So this comes from Myron. Myron, we talked a lot about, I would say, like the textbook stuff today. I think that a very real reality for a lot of the people that we bring into BTA, and even for me when I get really busy, is I'm looking to allocate 5 hours a week to work on the business. And I'm pre-allocating that for, usually it's my Fridays, that's my Friday afternoon, and a time that I know I'm not usually not stormed by a bunch of other stuff. So I'll do like a, whatever, 12 to 5 kind of thing. And then I'm allocating some Mondays to doing goal setting and reviewing with my team. The rest of the week is kind of open for interpretation. So if you struggle right now to even have time to think, I would start with that 5 hour a week exercise. Start to look at where you can carve out some stuff that you're currently doing because it's costing you, as we all know, and put in a few hours maybe to working on the business on a Friday and a couple hours on a Monday to actually doing one-on-ones to coach key people on your team. Not everybody, but the people that are actually helping you drive the organization forward. By working with people on Mondays, you can give them some more direction and leadership and control, and they can take a few things, hopefully, off your plate moving forward. And by being disciplined, and this really is a discipline thing, by pre-blocking 3 to 4 hours, 5 hours on a Friday, you can work on that one thing for the week because it's been pre-blocked. But if you don't block it out and you just kind of go with the flow and you let everybody else schedule for you, suddenly you'll never have time for that stuff. And it'll always be fires. And what I'll tell you with years of doing this, blocking that stuff out, it doesn't always happen exactly the way you think it will. I get it. But a couple months, I usually find that it takes about 2 months of slowly working that into my calendar and slowly working on all this stuff a little bit ahead of time. Less and less fires are showing up and I have more and more space to actually do more future-oriented stuff. So, okay. Do we have any other major questions I can get to? How much of your clientele are builders versus other realms? Is BTA focused on development and process improvement generally? So it's about 30% of our clients are builders and renovators. Our whole process is focused on, we call it the contractor growth method. Actually, I can show it to you here. It's essentially more than just an element of like financials and defined roles and all that stuff. It's actually trying to build a machine for the business so that it can operate with or without the owner.
So we start by looking at the financials of the business, and we'll look at sales, production, and financials, and start to build out a bit of a dashboard for you where we can go goal versus actual within the organization. And what that means is we can see indicators when things are on and when they're off and by how much and why. When we've got that dashboard built, we actually go down into your team's roles now and start to define not only their job descriptions, but everybody gets kind of like a number that they're in charge of achieving. Okay. And then it becomes your job, just like I was talking about Mondays, sitting down with key people on my team to actually drive those numbers within your project manager's role, within your salesperson or your estimator, within your office admin. And slowly, as my team gets bigger, I'm giving them more of the responsibility. So I kind of become more like their coach than their boss. And we teach you how to set up the defined role system to do that properly. We just talked about hiring quick. It's a very quick snapshot, but the next big challenge then becomes putting good people into those seats. So we work quite a bit with our members on hiring systems. So everything from ideal candidate profiling, job ad sets, pre-screening interviews, actual interview process itself, questions you want to be asking, how to make good decisions. And we set up the whole hiring system for you, or with you, I should say. We then have pre-built training and onboarding processes for builders. So we went through the last 10 years and built all the SOPs and built all the job descriptions and built all the templates that you guys need for what we teach. So that way, I've tried for many years just to teach this without giving you the templates. It doesn't really work. So we've built a ton of like training and onboarding processes that you get to grab and use for each major role in your company. We then look at the sales and marketing process, because I find a lot of you get busy with builds and then you don't continue with your lead flow and your estimating. So we have a whole way to track whether you're ahead or behind on leads generated, estimates generated, and jobs done, and make sure your pipeline is actually consistently full. And then we wrap all that work up into a strategic plan. So like we talked today, we've got an annual plan that's leading to quarterly reviews, that's leading to bi-weekly meetings with your coach. And we're slowly making sure you're getting the day-to-day work done, you're hitting the numbers that we've set goals on, and you're getting these initiatives and core elements of the business built out one kind of week at a time. So that is what we do. We should throw it up one more time. If you guys haven't yet, make sure you book a time to chat with us, and you can sit down with our team and discuss this a little bit more. Also, if you haven't got the resources, make sure you do. Let you guys put this little blue link that probably popped up. Maybe throw it in the chat window as well. And other than that, let's see if there's any other final questions, and we can kind of go from there. How much of your clientele? Are there any ways to hire someone with a military background from my superintendents and project managers? It's a very specific question, Neil. Is there any way to hire someone with a military background for my superintendent and project managers? So, Neil, to my point about LinkedIn, when you get LinkedIn Recruiter, you are actually able to go and look at people's specific backgrounds and keyword search things that are sitting in there. That could be one potential way. The other thing I just briefly glanced over was the ideal candidate profile. So I'll give you a story on this, and this isn't specific to the military background, but this is how I figured out how to hire people with more sports backgrounds. I sat down with my project manager and I was like, I need to profile you, because I need two of you yesterday. And I went through like, why do you stay here? What got you started with us? What gets you up in the morning? What do you love about this job? What do you hate about this job? And I started to profile him. And he told me things like, I love that you're more my coach than my boss. I love that you give me freedom and autonomy to drive crews in my own kind of unique way. I love that you give me goals to go hit. And actually, if I hit them, I get paid bonuses. And he's like, Danny, I used to be the quarterback of the football team. And this whole mentality that you've built this company around is the same as my coach used to drive us when we were out in the field. And he's like, so yes, it's a job for me, but I actually get a chance to make good money and do it in a way that I'm kind of tuned. And I realized my ads, my specific ads, were not tuned to speak to that at all. They were just like, project manager needed, drive company truck, competitive incentive package. And I started to speak to my ideal candidate, right? So I changed the ad from, project manager needed to looking for a quarterback to drive our crews, sick of a coach or sick of a boss, wish you had more of a coach, looking for freedom and autonomy to drive crews in your own way, love scoring touchdowns, but wish you actually got paid for them. Boy, do we have a job for you. And I spoke to my ideal candidate, if that kind of makes sense. So if you're looking for someone with a specific kind of background, go and profile that person to the best of your ability and make sure your ads are actually speaking to those types of people as well. All right. Anything else? How do you break into the retired building community? I think that might've been for Matt. I don't think I can hit that one. Wim, Danny, can you repeat how to use the brain dump?
So the brain dump is something I would just say you're doing kind of, well, writing down a list of all the things you have in front of you is probably not the hard part. Start there. Go look at your strategic plan for the quarter and say, are there things that I need to do in the next couple of weeks that I should probably be adding to this brain dump of things? And then when you've got it all sitting in front of you, label it A, B, or C. Let me go back to this little sheet here. Here. A, B, or C priority. And start to really determine what is the stuff I need to schedule first. What's truly important to actually helping me hit the goal? And this little like exercise once a week should help clear up a lot of like the busy work, if that kind of makes sense. Because I think a lot of us do tasks all the time and we'll often start, like I said earlier, from top to bottom, or we nitpick at the stuff we really like. But when we have to pit it against the actual goals of our organization, it starts to put things in perspective what's truly important. So brain dump, make sure your strategic planning stuff's in there. If you don't have a strategic plan, make sure you start to build one and then start to label it A, B, or C priority. All right. Anything else? That's good. Thanks for repeating. Yeah. Lost connect. Okay. Got it. Thanks, Ben. Cool. All right. Well, I will let you guys get back to it. Maybe throw the link up one more time if anyone else needs it. And you guys, thanks for sticking around with me. Thanks for putting up with all the tech stuff. I apologize. I will take a look at what's going on with this internet today. And yeah, best of luck out there. Happy management of your time. I get it. I'm in it with you. But if we can all do a little bit better, it's kind of the hope of today's webinar. So good luck. I'll talk to you guys all later.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Contractor Evolution. If you've already subscribed to our podcast, consider sharing this episode with another contractor that you think needs to hear it.